Okay, hello and welcome to the next episode of The Teller. And people sometimes say, well, where do you do these podcasts? Are you sitting at home? Are you at work? Where do you do them? Well, this particular one, which I have to say is running very late. The one a month didn't quite happen, did it? Sorry about that. I'm sitting actually in my car in the rain. I'm waiting, inevitably waiting for something, so I'm sitting just hanging around and squeezing in a bit of a podcast. That doesn't mean to say, of course, that I will be finishing this story at the same place where I started, because by the time I get into this, I could well have moved somewhere else. This story is one people tell me that I really should put forward as a podcast because it tends to be everybody's favourite. But funnily enough, it's maybe because I do it once or twice and it's not massively my favourite for telling. It's just everybody else's favourite for listening to. So, hey-ho, it's called The Soldier and Death. It was originally put out, I think, on a programme called The Storyteller, which was on Channel 4 many years ago. And I remember listening to it, and it was my favourite one from the series. And I kind of adapted it to my own way of doing things. I looked it up, and it's a traditional tale. It comes from Eastern Europe. And here it is. Hope you enjoy it. There was once a soldier returning home from the wars. And he's walking along a lonely road with woods on either side. And he's seen very little life, really nobody around. And as he's walking down the lonely road, the first and indeed only person he's seen for a long time is an old man sitting playing cards. And the soldier sits and joins him and has a conversation and a game. I should mention about the soldier that he's not a rich man. He has a little bit of money in his backpack. He's got his uniform on. He's got a few, you know, essentials. One thing about him that would mark him out as being different is that he had an amazing dance. And if you were to watch that dance when the young man moved, perhaps if you think Russian Cossack, you'd be getting there. Oh, he was an amazing dancer. Oh, yes. Anyway, he plays a few games of cards. And as he's playing them, he notices every single time he loses. And he stops and he says to this old man, he says, "Excuse me, old man." He said, "I can't help but notice, like, you're winning every time." And the old man says, "Oh, son, son." He said, "I'll be honest with you." He said, "This pack here." He said, "You'll notice," he said, "I'm not taking a penny of money off you," he said, "or ask to place a bet, even though you asked to begin with." He said, "I could claim I'm an old man who's just clever at a game of cards, but," he said, "I've enjoyed your company, and I'll tell you," he said, this here is a pack of magic cards. And he said, "If I play it, I can never lose." "Whoa," said the soldier. "Hey," he said, "now that I like the sound of." He said, "I would like that pack of magic cards." "Ah, now," said the old man. No, he said, "you can't have them because they're mine." Said the soldier. "I'll tell you what," he said. "I'll do you a deal." He said, "I'll dance a dance. And if you look at that dance and you say, It's good, but it's not the greatest I've ever seen. Then he said, I'll work for you as your servant until you die. For no charge. Other than, I suppose, my food and a bed. But, he said, if you look at my dance and you say that is actually the greatest thing I have ever seen, then you give me the cards. Now, the old man stopped and he thought about it a moment or two and he said, OK, son. He said, I could do with a servant. He said, go on, do your thing. So the soldier, he danced his heart out. And it really was amazing. I would place it somewhere between, as I say, a Cossack and a whirling dervish. But my God, it was good. And the old man, just his jaw drops and he applauds his heart out. And he said, I'm happy that I have lived long enough to watch that. He said, I can die a happy man. Here, he said, have the cards. So the soldier, he gets the cards. And he walks on his way. And after a little while, the soldier, well, he meets a hunter. And the hunter is walking down. And the hunter is carrying all the way down one arm pheasants and all the way down the other arm rabbits. And he has a knife in his belt and a sack slung over his back. Hiya, said the soldier.
All right,
said the hunter. Yeah, said the soldier, you've had a good day. Said the hunter. Believe me, he said. Every day is a good day. Well, I said the soldier. I can see that, he said. But, he said, whoa. He said, how have you managed to catch all them with no traps?
Yeah, well, said the hunter.
You see? He said, this on the back. He said, this is one of two magic sacks. And he says, well, they are amazing, because he said, all I have to do is to look at something, anything at all. And if I say, see this is a sack, get in it. Then he said, whatever it is, wherever it is, will end up in the sack. Hey, I'd like that, said the soldier.
Well, you can't have it, said the hunter.
It's mine.
Yeah, said the soldier, but he said, I can see, he said, that at heart, he said, I reckon you're a betting man. Now, tell you what, he said, sit yourself down and have a game of cards with me. And he said, if I can win three games in a row, I get that sack. He said, come on, he said, you've got another one at home. It's not as if it's the end of the world to you. And just think, he said, if you were to win even one of those three games, you can have every single thing that I have. I will walk away from here literally naked. The hunter laughed and he laughed loudly. Okay then, he said, you're right at that. He said, sit yourself down and deal your cards. And the soldier did. And of course, the soldier won. He has to, doesn't he? Pause for a quick drink of water there. And the soldier walks on his way. He eventually gets himself to a hotel. Well, in those days, I suppose, and we are talking a couple of hundred years ago, it's more of an inn, a hostelry, a place where you can lie down for the night and have a nice stew or a soup. There's many vacancies, and he wanders his way to the innkeeper's desk. The innkeeper bored is standing there, and the soldier said, "Have you a room for the night?"
"A room?" said the innkeeper. "We've got a whole load of rooms."
"Yes," said the soldier. "Looks a nice place. Have to say, I've hardly met anybody all day. Does nobody live round here?"
"Oh," said the innkeeper, "business has been bad."
He said, "You see," he said, "look," he said, "I'll show you. See that big house over there?"
"Yes," said the soldier. "Used to have a lord in it," said the innkeeper. "Very important, very rich man. Kept the local area happy, he did. Kept the people in employment in the fields. But," he said, "one day, about a year ago, bad business." He said, "A whole little load of devils from hell all came up from under the ground in his main living room. And," he said, "they kicked the Lord out and started raising hell every night. Midnight, I believe." He said, "he chased the Lord and his family away. And when he went away, so did the people." So he says, "this is why it's a bit grim for me. No guests, you see."
"Well, I'll never do," said the soldier. "I'll go and check it out tonight."
"I don't think you should," said the innkeeper. "Why?" he said, "it's very dangerous, you know." He said, "anything could happen to you." He said, "if I were you," he said, "you stay here in my little hotel here," and he said, "you'll be nice and safe." He said, "they don't bother us here, you know." He said, "I'll put some bit of nice broth in your room and you'll be fine." "No, no," said the soldier, "don't you worry about me." And he pays for his room and he goes up and he waits. And then at round about midnightish, he makes his way over to the Lord's house. Now, it's a very fine property. Very fine indeed. And as he makes his way in, there's very quiet. There's nobody there. It's dark. He lights a couple of gas lamps. And he just sits down with his feet up and he waits. And sure enough, just after midnight, the trap door opens. And a whole load of devils all climb out with their bottles of wine and their food. And they start to partying and shouting and drinking. And then they spot the soldier. And they laugh loudly and they all yell, "Look, look, a soul to steal, a soul to steal. Let's drag him down to hell and be done with him." And the soldier, shocked, leans forward and says, "Excuse me, drag him down to hell?" He said, I think you'll find I'll come down quite happily." "What?" said the devils. "Well, go on then." I didn't finish my sentence," said the soldier. "What I meant was, you're devils, and let's face it, devils like to bet."
"Yeah, we do."
"Well then," said the soldier, "I'll place a bet with you. My soul on a game of cards. But if I win," he said, "you clear off and you never, ever come back."
"Done deal,"
said the devil. And you know what? Those devils, they cheat like mad. The soldier deals his cards, but oh my. The devils, they're passing these cards around under the table, behind their back. They've got them up their sleeves. They play to win and they play hard and mean. But the soldier, because he's playing with a magic pack of cards, is victorious.
"What?" said the devils.
But they have to leave. And off they go. But the soldier watches. And the smallest little devil, the last one to leave, is just about to disappear down the trap door when the soldier yells out,
Oi, little devil? Yeah,
said the little devil.
Little devil?
Little devil? Shouted the soldier in one. See this? This is a sack. Now get in it! And that little devil flew into the sack, and there he was. And the soldier put his hand down into the sack, and taking that little devil by the ear, he pulled him out. The little devil screeched.
Oi! He said, you're just picking on me because I'm the little one. What's going on, eh?
Aha! Cried the soldier, quite loudly. Now, he said, now, little devil, let me tell you, he said, now that I've got you, he said, you are going to work as my slave.
I don't think so, said the little devil. It's not as if you can make me.
Oh, I can, said the soldier. Because I am going to take your...
I'm going to take your foot. And he grabbed that little devil, and in one snap, the little devil's foot was off.
Ah! Cried the devil. You've taken my foot!
Yep, said the soldier. And if you ever want it back, then if I whistle, you'll be there. And the soldier whistled and said away.
And off went the little devil down to hell, crying and wailing the fact that the soldier had been brutally cruel to him.
Well, you can imagine just how famous that soldier now became. He was the one, after all, who chased all the devils away. And the Lord came back, and the people came back, and they opened their houses, and they celebrated, and they gave the soldier a party.
He got a good-looking wife. Life was good. Life was very good.
Until a few years down the line, his wife, who he did love,
fell ill. So ill, in fact, the doctors were shaking their heads and nobody could help her. And the soldier, alone in his room, feeling low, looked up and he saw, sitting on his mantelpiece, the little devil's foot. Now he'd not seen that in quite a while. He thought. And he gave a whistle, and the little devil was there on his shoulder.
Yeah, said the little devil. Go on, then.
Well, it's my wife, said the soldier.
If you look, you can see she's in a really bad way.
Oh, yeah, said the little devil.
Is she going to die? Said the soldier. Are you able to help her?
I don't know, said the little devil. I can have a look.
And the little devil takes out of his pocket,
or what at least passes for a pocket in a little devil,
he takes out a small glass filled with something that looks like water. And he looks in it and replies,
yeah, he said, I can help.
And he flicks water and the girl's eyes open and she falls into a peaceful sleep that she will recover from.
Whoa, said the soldier. Now that I like.
Care to give me it?
No, said the little devil, I wouldn't.
Well, at least tell me how it works, said the soldier.
It's easy enough, said the little devil. This here's hell's water.
And the deathy don't like it, death doesn't.
So he said, if I look in it, I can see death hanging around. He said, if it's arrived and death is standing behind the head of the person, then there's nothing I can do about it. But if death's down at the foot of the bed, I can chase him away with this, okay, and he won't come back for a while.
I like it, said the soldier.
I'll have it. I've just said, the little devil, you can't have it.
Tell you what, said the soldier, I'll do you a swap. He says, I'll give you your foot back for the water.
Hmm,
said the little devil. All right then, because he'd missed his foot. Seems like a good deal. Seems like a good deal. So what happens is the little devil passes the water over and then he gets his foot back, which he pops on and he disappears off. And the soldier, well, now he is a miracle worker. Because now he can send away death. And when people are dying, all they have to do is to call for the soldier, pay a large fee, and he'll save them all right. But it has to be said that sometimes when he arrives, shall we say, a bit late, and death standing at the head of the bed. Then he has to shake his head and say, oh, I'm so sorry, if only you'd called me like a few minutes before. I might have been able to do some good, but now, I can't. Yep, a tragedy. But it all goes well, actually, it all goes very well, until the lord of the manor, the man who had given the soldier all his wealth and come back to the big house. Now, the lord of the manor falls very ill. What can be done? He's lying there in the bed. The doctors have all shaken their heads. And every doctor has looked and said, I'm sorry. So they call for the soldier, but when the soldier comes on in and lifts his glass up and looks, he only sees death. Death standing at the head of the bed. And the soldier, crestfallen, turns round and he looks at the others around him and he says, I'm sorry, he said, I'm afraid, called me too late. There really is nothing here that can be done. But they get angry with him, you know, and they start shouting and they say, this is a man who's given you everything, who gave you the big house, who's taken you into our community, and you can't save him. You can't save him, whereas you've saved complete strangers. And they angrily demanded that he should be taken to prison. But the soldier paused, he thought, and then, replying to them, he asked for a few moments of peace to see if he could find a cure. And alone in that room, an idea strikes him. Just one desperate, desperate idea. And he looks in the glass and he sees Death there at the end of the bed, looking down on the Lord, and he says, Death. He said, if I can see you, can you see me? And Death gives a small nod of the head. And the soldier replies, I thought so. And he said, out of interest. He said, can you hear me? And Death gives a nod. And the soldier mutters in response, that's very interesting. In that case, if you can see me and you can hear me, then let it be known that this is a sack. Now get in it! And that moment there's death in the sack. So the Lord cannot die. And the soldier rushes out with Death, and he takes him and he hangs him in a tree in his garden. And word gets around that nobody can die, that the soldier has trapped Death. The weirdest things start happening for the next few days. Suicides have a miserable time. Battles are fought and people are stabbed and all kinds of things, but they just wander around with cuts and their bruises. And they do not die. And all is perhaps well until the soldier hears the sound of crying and torment from those in pain, from the ill, the sick and the maimed, and those who've given up and no longer wish to continue. And he realises at that very moment that death has a very useful function indeed. So the soldier goes into his garden and he lets death back out into the world. And of course, all things come to pass and all people die. But we meet the soldier many, many, many years later. He's in his hundreds and death has never come. The Lord has long since died, and so have the soldier's friends. There's nobody left for him anymore. And tired of life itself, he looks in the glass and he sees death in the distance, and he says to him, greeting him as if greeting an old friend, "Death, I'm here for you, come for me." But in his head, all he hears are the words, "Come to you? You with that sack? I don't think so." And the soldier realizes he's doomed for eternity. But, blinking an eye and remembering a passage of long ago, the soldier slowly makes his way to the house where the Lord used to live. And he finds, late at night, when nobody is around, the same little passage that the devils lifted all those years ago. And making his way down, down towards hell, he arrives at a small door at hell's gate. And banging on it, he waits, ready to offer himself. A familiar face opens the door. And his own little devil looks out and says, "Yes, what can I do for you?" "Hello," said the soldier. "It's me, old friend." "Friend?" said the little devil. "Friend? Is it that's pushing it? Is it you took my foot?" "Yes, but," said the soldier, "forgive and forget, huh? Long time ago. Long time no see." "Forgive and forget?" said the little devil. "Forgive and forget?" He said, "You forget." He said, "I am a devil. We don't do forgiveness or forgetting down here. You're in the wrong place." "Oh, but go on," said the soldier. "Let me in." "Let you in," said the devil. "So you're going to put us all in this sack, are you?" "I think not." And he banged the door shut. Tight shut. Oof. The soldier was not welcome. So what the soldier did was, he had a little look around him and he could see the stairs heading upwards, up to heaven. And taking a long time, because of course by now he was very old, he arrived up at the gates of heaven itself, where the clouds were floaty and the air was at peace. There was a long line of dead people, but the soldier, he just pushes himself to the front. And he gets to the gates and he rings the door. And the door is opened by a beatific, there's a good word, isn't it? A beatific gentleman with long beard and twinkly eyes, who stands in front of him and says, "Now then, who do we have here?" And the soldier says, "Come on," he said, "you know me." He said, "I must be in your book." And the man looks down and he spots and he nods and he says, "Actually, you are, yes." He said, "I do know who you are." And he said, "You've caused me an awful lot of trouble." He said, "Let's take gambling with devils, capturing death in a sack. Not a good start." He said, "Never mind all the other one or two indiscretions that we won't just bring up here." He said, "I'm sorry," he said, "you're a totally unsuitable person and you can't come in." Now this means that the soldier's not welcome in either destination. But he sits down as he's wont to do and he has another think.
And he looks down the line of dead people and he finds himself one who looks, shall we say, amenable. And he walks up to the dead person. He says, dead person. And the dead person says, yes. He says, dead person, would you do me a favour? Well, said the dead person, it really depends what it is. Hmm, said the soldier. Well, he said, I'd like to, first of all, he said that you're obviously a gentleman of great intelligence. Now, he said, what I would like to say, he said, I'd like to give you this pack of magic cards. And he said, if you go into heaven and play with these cards, then he said, you'll never lose again, not for all eternity. And for doing that, he said, all you've got to do is to walk into heaven carrying this sack. And then, he said, when you turn around, you look at me, and all you've got to say is, see this? This is a sack. Get in it. And he said, you open the sack and let me in. Oh, okay, said the dead person. It sounds very simple. It does, said the soldier. A foolproof plan. And so one might say it was, because the dead person took the cards quite happily and popped them in his pocket. He also, it must be said, took the sack, which he popped on his back. And he walks his way into heaven. And at that moment, I'm afraid, the plan unraveled. Because you see, when you walk into heaven, you forget everything, everything that went in your life on the other side. And so the dead person entered heaven carrying the cards and the sack, and he just kind of shrugged his shoulders and put them down. And walked on in. And as for the poor soldier, he was standing there on the other side, absolutely at a loss. Stranded. Oh my. He walked his way sadly back to his house. And there he dwelt alone. And still does. I'm afraid without his cards, without his sack, and far too old anymore for his dance. And this is, of course, where it all ends. But I will say one thing. I would say that that soldier still tells a remarkable tale. And although the glass that he ever captured death with, or could see death with, is now empty, well, his story remains. And he told it to me one night over a glass of wine and a cup of tea. And there we are, The Soldier and Death, and I hope very much you enjoyed it. I keep looking, you know, well, I don't know. I opened this Twitter page, The Teller, on Twitter. You can tell it's me because of the candle on the table. But I'm so bad. I don't use Twitter. I've never really logged in, and I don't think I've got many followers. And yet there do seem to be plenty of subscribers for this podcast. So if my podcast listeners are going up, obviously you don't do Twitter, because none of you are connecting into me, and it would be lovely to hear from you. Always good to get a bit of feedback and that type of thing. Welcome to, of course, send me an email. My email is lowercase letters, emchambers1966@gmail.com. Do pass some advice over. Let me know if there's any particular story you'd like to cover. Would be great to hear from you. That's emchambers1966@gmail.com. I can't remember if I forgot the 1966 the first time. emchambers1966@gmail.com. Welcome to say hello. As I say, pass on any thoughts. And look forward to you all listening next time. Hope you've enjoyed it. And by the way, I'm finishing this not where I began it. This story has been told at three different venues. I'm now actually finishing it off walking to the shops, and you can probably hear the background noise as we go. So take care. Should get this out for Bank Holiday Monday. Hope you've enjoyed listening. Bye-bye.